Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I tell you, it's never been more sure that, more certain than it is in the day that we live in. But we need to learn and realize and recognize that we need to do things the way God said to do it. And I know everybody's got a better idea than God does. I understand that. We're in 2017. God's old. Somebody back in the 60s, they started saying God was dead. And I said, He's not ever even been sick.
That's right.
I mean, I'm serving a God that's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
Yes.
I'm serving a God that said in Malachi chapter 3, because I'm God and I don't change. I change not.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God, He's got a little bit better idea about things than what we do. And we just need to do it His way. In Genesis chapter 6, and I want to start reading with verse number 11. The Bible said, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." That sounds kind of like the day we live in, don't it? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
Yes.
I tell you, I believe we're getting close. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of is 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and it in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower and second and third stories shalt thou make it." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege to come tonight and preach again. Lord, I ask you, Father, just to anoint the preaching. Lord, I ask you to anoint the preacher tonight, Father. We can do nothing without you, but I'm glad that through you we can do all things. Lord, I ask you, Father, to help us to say something tonight that may cause somebody's heart to be troubled, and Lord, somebody's heart to be blessed, and Lord, every need be met here this evening. Just bless in the preaching hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now the Bible tells us that in our scripture reading tonight that the earth had become very corrupt, and the Bible said that God decided to destroy the earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God went to Noah, and he began to talk to him, and he said, "I want you to make an ark." And he said, "I'm going to destroy the earth, but I'm going to save you, and you make an ark, you bring in two of every kind of animal, and your wife and your sons and their wives." That's not here in this chapter, but later on. And he said, "All that's in the ark is going to be saved." And so he told Noah, he said, "Make the ark of gopher wood." Now, I don't know exactly what gopher wood is. I was in a church one time, and a man brought a piece of wood in that he said was gopher wood that he'd gotten overseas somewhere. And he handed it to me in a pretty good sized board, didn't weigh hardly anything. I mean, this gopher wood supposedly was very light wood. And so God said, make your ark out of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And I want to ask you a question. Just think about some things tonight as we go through some of these verses and try to bring the message that the Lord has spoke to me today. He said, make this ark out of gopher wood. What if Noah had said, well, gopher wood's too hard to come by and it's too far away where I have to go get it, so I'm just going to build this thing out of pine. And you'll just have to be satisfied with that. And besides that, gopher wood's harder to work with, and pine's awful soft, and it would be easy for me. And what if Noah had done that? And what if Noah had said, okay, and you want rooms in this thing, and every time I put a petition up, that means I've got to have more wood. Which means I have to cut more wood, split more wood, saw more wood, and cut more wood down to fit. And that's getting just a little bit unreasonable to me. And he said, you want it pitched within and without. Well, I don't want to do that because this pitch is going to be a little sticky and everything. So why don't I just pitch it without a little bit and just you be satisfied with that? Listen, Noah never said none of this stuff. He just saw what God instructed him to do, and he began to work and to do what God said. But what if he had have done it his way? I believe the ark probably to start with probably would have never been finished, and if it was finished, it probably, when the rain came, it would have probably just sat there on the ground and filled up with water. I mean, I don't know what would have happened, but I'm telling you tonight, if we don't do it God's way, it's not going to work. And if we do it God's way, it'll work out just exactly the way that God tells us that it will. And he went on the 15th verse and said, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. That's 450 feet by my calculations. And if you want to know how long that is, that's 1.5 football fields. And that's how long this thing had to be. And Noah could have said, well, now God, that's going to take an awful lot of wood. Why don't I cut that down to about half that? And it'd make it a lot easier on me. And I tell you that, that's what most people today are trying to do with God. God says do it this way. And we say, God, I'm going to do it my way. And you're just going to have to accept that. I want to tell you something tonight. God don't have to accept anything. He don't have to accept me. He don't have to accept you. And he don't have to accept our lazy, foolish, feeble ways. He just don't have to accept anything of us. And he said, you make it, the length of the ark's going to be 300 cubits, which is 450 feet. The breadth's going to be 50 cubits, which is 75 feet. That's 1.5 football fields wide, by the way. And he says, and the height of it be 30 cubits, which is 45 foot high. This is a lot of wood. This is one man. And God said, I want you to build this monster of a boat. And it's never rained on the earth. Never. In the history of man, never has it rained. The earth was watered with a mist that came down out of heaven. And so people don't even know what rain is. And God told Noah, it's going to rain. You build this big monster of a boat. And I imagine Noah took a lot of flack over that. He was building and working. They said, boy, I don't know where you're planning on floating that thing at, but I don't even know how you're going to get it to the lake or the sea. And Noah Noah said, don't got to worry about that. God's going to bring the water to me. It's going to rain. They said, "Why? What's rain? We don't even know what that is." I tell you something tonight, I don't know what it is for Jesus to step out on the clouds of glory, but one of these days, I know He's going to. And He said He was. He promised He would. And I'm looking for Him. And I've made preparation to be ready when He comes. And it doesn't matter who don't believe it. I'm going to be ready to go. He's ready to come. And I'm ready to go.
Amen.
He told him how big to make this thing. Noah could have said, well, I don't know about that second, third story. That means floors. Floors got to be stronger, got to be reinforced. Are you sure I can't get by with just a two-story? Are you sure I can't get by with something less? Listen, Noah could have done that at the least. If he would have cut corners and shortchanged God, he couldn't have got all the animals on the ark. God sat down and planned all this out. He knew exactly how much room He needed for everything He's putting on there. And I think He built it with a little extra room just in case some of these foolish people in the world wanted to get their heart right with God and come to Calvary and be saved and accept God on His terms. I believe there was room for people that on the ark besides the animals and Noah's family. I believe that God would have saved anybody.
Amen.
I serve a merciful God.
Amen.
And I believe that my merciful God would save anybody.
Amen.
We preach that God was the God of the Jews, and He was. We preach that the Jewish people, they claimed God and you couldn't have Him. That's about the way it was. But that's not entirely the way it was. God has always opened a door for whosoever will. And if you don't believe that, read the book of Joshua about Rahab the harlot when she helped the spies. And they said, when we come and destroy Jerusalem or destroy Jericho, we're going to save you and ever who's in your house. And so Rahab was saved when Israel attacked Jericho, and she found herself wound up right in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Listen, I want to tell you something. She was not a Jew, but she was just as saved as they were.
Amen.
God has never shut the door on anybody. Somebody said, I've been too mean to be saved. There's nobody been that mean. You can't be that mean. There's nobody in the world that's been so mean they couldn't be saved. I had a man tell me that once, and I said, how many people have you killed for going to church? He said, well, I ain't never killed nobody. I said, I know a man that did.
Amen.
Saul of Tarsus went around the road arresting anybody that he found serving Jesus, and he arrested them. He threw them in jail, and some of them was put to death.
Amen.
Because they lived for Jesus.
Amen.
Now Saul, or his name was Paul later on, he said, I am the chief of all sinners.
Yeah.
That means they wasn't nobody as bad as he was. And Paul laid claim to that. Now I've never met anybody that's hardly as bad as old Saul was. He was breathing out threatenings to the church. He had people scared to stick their nose out. I'm telling you, Saul was a bad apple. But I want to tell you something. One day on the road to Damascus, God struck him down, spoke to him, saved him, and turned that monster of a man into one of the greatest apostles that the Bible ever talked about. He'll take anybody. God will. He'll take anybody. It don't matter to him. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. I don't care what your condition is or your position. I don't care who your family is. I don't care none of that stuff. God don't either. Listen, God, Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely. And I tell you something, it's always been that way, and it always will be that way. God said that concerning the Passover, He said when they instituted it, He said no stranger shall take the Passover. It's just for the Jews only. But he said, now if a stranger comes and sojourns with you, he said, and they want to take the Passover, all the males have to be circumcised, and then after that, they'll be just like you, and then they can take the Passover. You see, he said, it's only for the Jew, but if anybody wants to come in, we'll make a way for them to get in. There's always been a way made since Jesus died on Calvary. I'm glad there's a way made for you and me.
Amen.
We need to do things God's way.
Amen.
Bible said that Noah, down here in the scripture reading, down in verse number 15, told him how big to make this thing. Yeah. And I tell you something today. I'm glad that it was Noah. I started to do some research on this ark over here in Kentucky. And I'm just curious how long it took them to build that thing. It's supposed to be a replica of Noah's Ark, and I imagine that it took quite a while to build that. I think Miss Christie knows, but she ain't saying. But that's okay. I imagine a few years. I didn't look it up, but what I'm getting at this morning is, if it took them several years to build that with power tools, and if they brought the wood in on trucks and trains, and if they had all these other people helping, and they had all this machinery that they did all the work with, think about poor old Noah out there sweating it out with an axe and a handsaw, if he even had that, and trying to build the same thing single-handed, no trucks, no trains, nobody cutting his wood for him. I mean, he did it all single-handed. Now, that's a big undertaking, and God assigned him to do that. And I want to tell you something, I'm glad it was him instead of me. I mean, I've never been lazy, but I tell you, that's a little bit too much work. But Noah, listen, the Bible said after he went on down through the verses from 15 and 16, he said, and you put a window on the top of it, and it'll be finished a cubit, and a cubit is 18 inches. I believe this window was 18 inches square. And God said, finish it. Now, anybody that's worked in any kind of craft or building or anything, you know what it means to finish something. You can cut a hole in a wall and stick a piece of wood up in there, and you can call that a window, but it's not finished. And when the wind blows, it's going to blow in. When the rain comes, it's going to rain in there. It's not finished. But when you finish it, you'll cut that wood and fit that hole, and then you'll trim it out and seal it up and make it airtight where nothing can get in and nothing can get out. That's when your window's finished. Amen. And he put this on the top of the ark, 18 inches square, yes, and he finished it out like God told him to. Yes. And he said, you put a door in the side of the ark, and you set it in the side thereof, and have lower, second, and third stories. And then down in verse number 22, we didn't read that far down. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What does that 22nd verse say? He did it just exactly the way God said. Amen. To. That's what that verse means. That's what it says. And I'll tell you something. If we're going to ever get anywhere with God, we're going to have to do it His way.
Amen.
There's too many people today that's got their own ideas. There's too many people today that's got their own way of doing things. And Frank Sinatra, I think it was, and that probably ain't right, I used to know, but Elvis Presley, they sung a song, said, I did it my way.
Yeah.
One of them sung that song years and years ago. Well, it's been years and years now since Elvis did it, because he'd been dead nearly over 40 years, I guess. But they sung a song that said, I did it my way.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something tonight. You do it your way and you'll go to hell.
Amen.
There's no way that you're going to make it to heaven doing it your way.
Amen.
If Noah had done it his way, his little boat wouldn't have floated. And if it had, it would have filled up with water pretty fast and sunk. I don't tell you. But Noah knew better than to do it his way. Noah said, okay, this is God's way. This is Noah's way. Noah's way is stupid, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it God's way, because I want this to work for the saving of me and the saving of my household.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you want to see your household saved? Then do it God's way.
Amen.
Whatever it says, that's what we need to do.
Amen.
And I'm going to be the bearer of bad news and tell you, everybody's not going to be saved. And that's unfortunate. And I'm sorry to have to say it, but it's just a fact. Everybody is not going to be saved. They're not going to. Because there's those that are not going to listen. There are those that are not going to do it God's way. There are those that they've got their own idea. There are those that says, I'm not that bad, so I don't need to be saved. I had a man tell me, I don't know why you keep telling me I need to be saved. I'm a good neighbor. I said, there's no doubt in my mind you're a good neighbor. He said, I'm a pretty good man. I take care of my family. I said, I can see that. You are a good man. You do take care of your family. And this man, not only that, but he came one day while I was gone, jacked my car up, took four wheels off of it, had old ball tires on it. I came in that night, I said, where's the wheels off the car? They've got them and gone to town. And the next day I came home, had new tires on them. That was this man that said, I'm a pretty good fella. He was a pretty good fella, but he was still lost and going to hell, and putting a set of tires on the preacher's car did not punch him a ticket to heaven.
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight, we can't do it our way. We have to do it God's way. He's laid out the plan, and we've got to follow it just exactly the way Noah did.
Amen.
Preacher friend of mine said one time, he said, when I die, he said, I may get to pearly gates and they might not let me in. He said, if that happens, he said, I got one thing to say in my defense. I did everything you said to do. I came to Calvary. I fell on my face. I repented under conviction, power of the Holy Ghost. I did exactly what the book said. And if that's not good enough, then that's just the way it is. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. That is good enough. If you did it God's way, when you leave this walk of life, heaven is going to be your home.
Amen.
Had a lady in church one time that was sick, and she was about ready to pass over, and she had a meeting at her house, called me and my wife and her brother and sister-in-law and a few other people was there. And she told us, well, I'm not going to make it much longer. I'm just about through with this life. And she asked her brother that day, said, would you take care of my son when I'm gone? And he said, don't you worry about him. He was an older boy, he was in his 20s or maybe even in his 30s, but he had some kind of brain damage, and he never was real, couldn't function on his own. And so her brother said, I'll take care of him for you. And so when it got down pretty close to time for her to leave, she sent her son to her brother's house. And they called one night in the middle of the night. And I came out there. They said she just about gone. And she passed away that night. And everybody was standing around thinking, how are we going to tell her son? How are we going to tell him? And so they couldn't figure out what they was going to do. He's in bed asleep. We're sure not going to wake him up in the middle of the night. We'll wait till tomorrow and figure something out. That man got out of, young man, boy, he's in his mind. He's about 7 or 8 years old in his mind, I think. He got up the next morning and walked in the kitchen where his sister-in-law was. She said, I didn't know what I was going to do, but he looked at her and said, Jesus told me that my mama's at home. I want to tell you something. You can believe that or not, but I'm telling you that happened.
Amen, brother.
Listen, I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus will take care of it. You do things God's way, and Jesus is able to take care of it.
Amen.
They never had to tell him that his mama passed away. He told them.
Amen.
I want to ask you, how do you think the man knew it? How do you think he got the news? Nobody talked to him, except he said Jesus did.
Right.
And I have to believe it, because that's the only way it could have been.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, when we do things God's way, He'll take care of us.
Amen.
What I'm preaching tonight is do it His way.
Amen.
Because our way is not good enough. This man told me, he just kept telling me, he said, "Preacher, I don't see why I need to be saved. Because you're lost."
Yes.
That's why. I don't care how good you are. Right. You're not going to make it to heaven on your goodness. Paul's pretty clear about that. He said, "It's by grace and through faith we're saved, not of our works, lest any man should boast." You can be the greatest person in the world and die lost without God and go to hell.
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight, church, we need to do it God's way.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad to report that this man, he came to church. Finally got to coming and one of his neighbors been talking to him for years and years. Couldn't talk him into coming to church. He said, "Would you go talk to him?" I said, "Sure, I'll go talk to him." He said, "I don't know how he'll receive you." I crossed over fences, waded through mud, crawled under fences and to get to where he was plowing at, about 3 or 4 fields over from his house. And he said, "What do you want?" I said, "I come to invite you to church." And he said, "Well, I got to come. Anybody come through what you came through to ask me, I got to go." And he did. Next day, he came to church. And after that, he was there every Sunday. Listen, I want to tell you something. You go the extra mile for God, it's untelling what He'll do for you. All we got to do is put forth an effort. Do what He asked us to do. He said go into the highways and the byways. And I think that also meant go over in that third field. Maybe somebody over there plowing needs Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. You do the extra thing for God. He'll see your faithfulness.
Amen.
And He'll do the extra thing
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
I saw that man just that's been 30 something years ago. I saw him about 5 years ago. He's still in church.
Hallelujah.
He's saved.
Amen.
He's working in that church. And him and a couple of his family members actually held that church open when they got down and got in some troubles. And people began to leave. And him and his son-in-law and daughter stayed there and kept the doors open. And I said, what in the world would have happened if I hadn't went that extra mile?
Amen.
Listen, I don't want a pat on the back. I ain't what I'm after. I'm just telling you, when you do a little extra, God will do a little extra. And when He does a little extra, His little extra amounts to a whole lot more than your little extra.
Amen.
Noah put the ark up. He built the ark 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, put a wind on top 18 inches, finished out, put a door in the side with second and third stories.
Yes.
I used to, when I was a kid, I'd think, how in the world he'd gather up all them animals? He said, "Okay, God, it's ready." And God said, "Okay, and here come the animals."
Amen, brother.
He didn't have to get out and lasso them and drag them and beat them and drive them and all that. He just stood there and watched them come in. Right up here, your floor's right there and yours up here and yours. I mean, put them on in their place. Listen, God. You say, "I don't know if I believe that." I don't care if you believe that or not. I'm telling you, if you'll do what God says to do, He'll do what He said He would do.
Amen.
We just need to do it His way.
Amen.
We need to do what He said. There's so many people that I see today that's trying to cut corners and shortchange God. You'll never get any place like that. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. If this book right here says it, that's what you need to do.
Amen.
You look at it and you say, "Well, I can't do that." Yes, you can. If you couldn't, God wouldn't have asked you to.
Right. Right.
You say, "Well, I don't like that. I don't want to do that." Well, now that's a different matter altogether. But until you become willing to do what God said, you're not going to be blessed.
Amen.
I can promise you that. You'll never be blessed until you do what the Lord asked you to do. And you know what He's asking you to do? If you're lost today, He's asking you to come
Amen.
And take of the water of life freely.
Yeah.
And concerning salvation, we as a church, the church world today, we've got our own way of doing things. I've never witnessed this, but I've heard people that have. Preachers, heard about one preacher in a Bible school. And the church one time said, "Who How many of you kids want to be saved? And some of them held their hand up and he said, come up here and shake my hand and you'll be all right. Now, I didn't witness that, but I've heard of that more times than one. I've heard of people saying, you want to be saved, fill out this card and you'll be okay, you're on your way. I want to tell you something, you can fill out cards till you run every ink pen in the world dry and you'll still be lost. You can shake my hand till both our arms fall off and you'll still die lost without God. That's not God's way. I'm telling you something, you can't shortchange God. Well, I don't want to come humble before God, then you'll never be saved. Because that's what you've got to do. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He'll exalt you.
Amen.
People say, well, I'm just too proud. Well, pride is one of the things that God hates. In the book of Solomon's book, Proverbs, over there in about the 6th chapter, these 6 things that God hates, yea, 7 are abomination to Him. And the first one's a proud look.
Amen.
You got a proud look, you'll be proud in hell. You'll look real proud when you get there.
Amen.
Except the only thing about it is everybody looks the same there, I think. I mean, hey, I've never seen that. I don't want to see that.
Amen.
Somebody said, boy, if we could just look into hell, you go ahead and look. I don't want to look. You look and tell me what you saw. I don't want to see. That's got to be the worst thing that anybody could ever imagine. Now, we had a preacher here, evangelist, said if you get a vision of people in hell, then you'll go to work for God. Now, we need a vision of people dying lost and going to hell. But I tell you something, as far as seeing in hell, I just can't imagine what it must look like. Jesus described it bad enough. He said it's a place where the fire is never quenched, and the worm dieth not. And He said it's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And some preacher said, well, I don't believe there's any weeping because there's no water there. I want to tell you something, that's a fool. The Bible said there's weeping. You can second guess it. You can take it out. You can change it. You can do whatever you want to with it. I'm telling you, Jesus said there's weeping, and I believe Him over some goofy preacher. You know what? We're trying to change everything. We want to do it our way. Our way sounds better. Dress it up a little bit. Dress it up all you want to. I'm telling you something, you can't change the fact.
Right. Amen.
Go to a funeral home and they'll take the corpse. They'll put a fine suit of clothes on. Man, they'll put a necktie on him. He ain't never wore a necktie in his life. He got one on now. And they put him in there and fix his hair up. He's never combed his hair in all the years you've known him. Now he's got it all combed and cut and he's shaved. And he looked pretty good. He's still dead.
Right.
You can't change. You can dress it up and make it look as good as you can. It doesn't change the facts in it. And that's the way God is. Listen, you can dress up hell if you want to. It don't change it none. It does not change it. It does not take anything away from what Jesus said about it.
Amen.
Still a place that I don't want to go.
Amen.
And I tell you, I'm not going. I made reservations a long time ago because the preacher said, you're going there. And I said, oh Lord, I hope I don't get there before I can make it to that altar. Because I tell you, I was under such conviction and I came to Jesus and He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I've been saved over 50 years and I'm proud of it, glad about it. And I tell you, it's another day's journey and I'm so glad about it that I could just shout.
Amen.
I tell you something, one of these days, I'm going to heaven. There ain't no doubt in my mind. Jesus said, I'm going to make a place for you.
Yes.
Preacher, He might not have been talking to you. It's in my Bible. I'm going to take it.
Amen.
Hey, I don't know. You can say He wasn't talking to you if you want to, but He's talking to me. You're not ever taking that away from me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to get you. I said, hallelujah. I'm ready to go. When you get here, I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm not going to dress it down. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to take away from the power of it. I'm just going to tell you just exactly the way the Bible said it was. And if we'll do it God's way, we'll get to experience those things. But I see so many people trying to cut corners, trying to shortchange God. Listen, God made the plan. He laid it out. It's just as simple as it can be. When I started preaching, I finally gave in, surrendered to my call to preach. I said, God, one thing I ask you, help me to preach where a child can understand. I don't want to preach over anybody's head. I can't preach over very many people's head, but I don't want to preach where people don't understand what I'm saying. I don't ever want anybody to walk out of the building and say, what was he saying? I don't know what he's talking about. Listen, if you've got a problem with it, come to me and I'll draw you a picture or explain it a little bit. I want people to understand what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is, if you're saved by God's grace, heaven's your home. And if you're not saved, hell is your destination. That's pretty clear. Anybody here don't understand that? I'll tell you something. If I wasn't saved tonight, I wouldn't lay down and go to sleep. I tell you, I was concerned when I was a child. My mama turned that light off, shut that bedroom door, and I said, oh no. Oh dear, leave me in here in the dark by myself again. And I was terrified. I didn't realize that I need to be saved. I didn't know that. I didn't know God was already working on me in that dark room by myself. Had three more siblings in there with me. They couldn't help me. I was in the dark, and they was in just as much dark as I was. I needed somebody. And I remember one night I got scared. I reached over to a little lamp I had on the nightstand. Tried to turn it on, it turned over on me, burnt my arm. I tell you, it just about burnt me up, and I never did do that again. But I'll tell you something, I was scared. But after I came to Jesus, and after I got on my knees before Him, and I asked Him to come into my heart, when He came in, that fear went out.
Amen.
And I tell you, my mama turned the light off that night. I wasn't afraid of nothing. I had Jesus with me. Listen, if you'll get saved tonight, you don't have to be afraid of anything. But if you're not saved, you are to be afraid of everything.
Amen.
The Bible said, Jesus in the 6th chapter of John, preaching to the people. And they turned when He started talking about, in that 6th chapter, He started telling them, I'm the bread of life. He said, I believe that's a chapter where He said, your fathers ate bread in the wilderness, but they died. He said, I'm the bread of life. And anybody who wants to have eternal life, got to eat my body. And they said, boy, that's hard. We don't understand that. We can't get along with that. And so they turned around and left. But you know what He told them? He said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
You know what we've done today? We've changed that somewhat. We've changed that to no man can come to me except the Father draw him. We've changed that to anybody can get saved anytime they want to. That's not what the Bible says. Preacher, that's the way I've always believed it. You better change your belief, because I'm telling you, I'm showing you in the Word of God, that's not how it is. Listen, you can't. And I've heard of people getting out witnessing the people say, you can get saved right now. No, you can't. Not unless the Lord's dealing with your heart. He's not speaking to you. You can pray all you want to. You'll not be saved. You can go through all the motions. You can go through everything that you want to go through. Miss Bobby stood here a while ago and said, I thought I was saved at 12 years old, but I wasn't. That's the problem. The whole lot of people today, they thought they was saved sometime, but they wasn't. You know why they wasn't? Because Jesus, the Father, hadn't drawn them to Calvary.
Amen.
I'll tell you why. One thing, listen, I could not believe in Jesus to be saved had the Father not taught me to believe.
Amen.
Without the Holy Spirit of God telling me that it's right, I mean, I look at this what I'm preaching from tonight. I look at this, and a lot of times I've found myself questioning, how in the world did Moses or Noah get all them animals on that ark? I mean, yeah, it was big, but I mean, two of every kind of animal and seven of a lot of them. How in the world did he get all them on that ark? I mean, the more animals come in, the smaller that ark starts looking. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? Said, you just go ahead and believe it because it happened.
Amen.
God wrote it down in his book because it happened.
Amen.
You don't understand it, but you know something? You don't understand a whole lot of things. And I don't. I eat a lot of things I don't understand. People say, well, how do you get saved? I don't know. I can't tell you that. You come ask Jesus to save you. If you're under conviction, he will. How does it happen? I can't answer that question. I don't understand how it happens. That's above my pay grade. I don't know anything about that. All I know is what happened to me. As a 9-year-old boy, didn't understand nothing. I still got saved. It wasn't no problem.
Praise God.
When you come under the conviction spirit of the Holy Ghost of God, salvation will happen.
Amen.
If you believe.
Amen.
But we want to change it all up. We want to tell people you can come anytime you want to. You can do anything you want to do. And I've even heard people say you can get saved and then you can go out and live any way you want to. What a big lie. Man, I tell you something. That'd be nice if you could do that. Well, you know, actually you can, I guess. I mean, I can. I can. Listen, I got saved. I can do anything I want to do. You know what I wanted to do today? I wanted to come to church twice.
Amen.
You know what I want to do Wednesday night? If I'm still here and able, I want to come back to church. You know what I want to do with my life? I want to work for Jesus.
Yeah.
You want to know what I want to do? I want to go home tonight and sit down and read some chapters in my Bible. You want to know what I want to do? I want to pray and talk to the Father. You know what I want to do? I want to get closer to Him. You know what I want to do? I want to have a closer walk with God. You know what I want to do? I'm just going to live for Him and let Him be the Lord of my life. And I tell you, as long as that's what I want to do, I can do anything I want to. But you say, well, I don't want to do those things. I'm going to get saved and then I want to go back out in the world. Then you didn't get saved. That's just the way it is. You're not saved. You hear me? If you want to live in the world and you don't want to live for Jesus, you're either not saved or you're backslid. And if it's been going on for more than a few months or a year or something, I'm going to put you in that lost category. You judging me? No, I'm not judging. You're judging your own self.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you something. Everybody I know that's saved and loves the Lord. Man, I tell you something. I love this church. I can just about tell you who's going to be here at the services. I can just about name them. If they're not sick or something, they'll be here. Because they love the Lord. And you know something? I can also just about tell you who's not going to be here. But you know why? Because they don't love the Lord.
Amen.
They don't love God. So they're just going to lay around the house. They're just going to let life go by. And they're not going to get saved. They're not going to care about God. And then when time comes to die, maybe God will have mercy. He has mercy on you right now to leave you still breathing to get saved.
Amen.
We need to do it God's way.
Amen.
Seems like every young man gets saved today. Thanks to a preacher. I see it all the time. People want to preach. I don't know why. I didn't want to. Brother Ross talked to me about his experience when the Lord called him preach. He didn't want to either. I tell you, most preachers I know did not want to preach. I mean, I wasn't one of them sitting around saying, God called me to preach. When God called me, I said, do what?
Yeah.
Oh, you've called the wrong number. I think you need to call that other person over there because I can't do this. You see, and that's why when I ran from God, I wasn't running because I didn't want to serve God and didn't want to do what He wanted me to do. I was running because I was terrified. I did not want to preach. But I see these boys today, young men, they get saved and they boy, I hope God calls me to preach. You got a problem. I'm telling you, dude, I don't know too many people that really say that and mean it. But I've seen so many in the last few years. Now, I'm not talking about years ago. My wife and I talk all the time. Me and Brother Ross, me and Brother Woody, different ones, we talk. And we question, what's God going to do? See, Brother Jack left out of here a few months ago. Old preacher, old faithful man of God. Not here anymore. Who's took his place? Well, preacher, you did, I think. Well, I already had a place. I'm in his position. But I already had place. But when I'm gone, who's going to take my place? When Brother Ross is gone, who's going to take his place? When Brother Langston's gone, who's going to take his place? When all these old-fashioned, old-time preachers, when Brother David's gone, who's going to take his place? I'm telling you something, most people today, the young preachers I know that's faithful to their calling, I can just about count them on one hand. I've got some numbers of preachers, and I called one night. I said, how about coming preaching for me Sunday night? I've never heard so many excuses why he couldn't come and preach. I said, I'm not asking you to come tonight. It's tomorrow night. You got over 24 hours to get. I've been in a deer stand. I've been this. I've been that. That's the problem, you see. They think they want to preach, but they want to deer hunt more. They think they want to preach, but they want to play golf more. They think they want to preach, but they want to go fishing more. They think they want to preach, but they want to do everything in the world first. Listen, God ain't called nothing like that.
Amen.
If you're saved, then you'd rather be out in the world as you would be in God's house or working for God and serving Him. You missed something somewhere along the way. I'm telling you something. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm about done. I'm about done for. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, He said, forsaken not the assembling yourself together in the manner as some are, and especially more as you see that day approaching. What day?
Amen.
The day of the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
I believe it's pretty well determined that we're living in the last day. Jesus is going to come. I'm surprised He didn't come yesterday.
Amen.
I'm surprised He didn't come today.
Amen.
And I'll be surprised He don't come tomorrow. I'm looking for Jesus
Amen.
To come just any minute. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. I'm not just making that up to sound good. I believe that.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe it.
Amen.
And He said, when you see those days, you go to church more and more and more and more and more. What do I see today? Churches closing their doors on Sunday night. Churches closing their door on Wednesday night. Turning the church house into a playhouse. Some churches around got yoga classes going on. They got a Zumba dancing going on in the church. They got everything in the world going on except preaching and teaching the Word of God and singing the songs of Zion. They'll do everything in the world in the house of God better than what they should be and are to be doing. We're living in the last day.
Amen.
Jesus said what I'm preaching tonight is to do it His way.
Amen.
He said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Amen.
Jesus said, follow me and I'd make you fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do it His way.
Amen.
Your way will take you to hell. I'm being as honest with you as I know how to be. I don't know if there's anybody here tonight that's lost, but I believe there is, because listen, God don't send a message like this unless somebody is. I know there's some people here tonight that you might say, well, preacher, I've been doing it my way, and I'm not seeing nobody come to Jesus. I'm not seeing any fruits of the Spirit. I'm not seeing anything. Try doing it His way.
Amen.
You may be saved and you may be living right, but you're still just not hardly doing everything the way He said to do it. You're coming up a little short in some department or another. I want to tell you something. If you want to find results, you want to have results, you want to see your loved ones come to Jesus, you're going to have to do it His way.
Amen.
Your life is only Bible that some people read.
Yeah.
And I tell you something, a lot of people's Bibles have got pages tore out of them. A lot of people's Bibles are not complete. A lot of people's Bibles apparently is a New Revised Version or something. A lot of people don't have the right thing for people to look at. Your parents, your children, your grandparents, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, they're all looking at you. And what you show them is about all they're going to know until they come to Jesus. Listen, we need to show people something more. I could sit at home tonight. I could have stayed at home, but you know something? Every neighbor on my road said, what's wrong with him? It's Sunday night. He ought to be gone to church. Why ain't he? Well, why ain't they?
Right.
Well, it don't matter about that. They're one. It's me that matters.
Yeah.
And it is. Because you see, I need to be a light for them.
Yeah.
talked to a friend of mine yesterday, run into him, and him and his wife worked with him for about 5 years. And I tell you, they're fine Christian people. He's probably one of the finest Christian men I know. And he sat there yesterday, deacon in church, and he's not as up to the caliber of our deacon here, but he is a pretty good deacon. And he said, Brother Dave, he said, what's wrong with our churches? What's happened to the church? He said, it's changed so much, and it's all for the worse. What's going on? And he kept talking. He said, I believe what it is, there's too many people sitting in the church that is trying. They're members of the church, but they've never been born again.
Amen.
I hear it from everybody I see, everywhere I go. There must be something to it. I'm telling you something. Until you come to know Jesus, you're not going to have any peace. You're not going to have any contentment. You're not going to have any joy. I tell you, a lot of other things, you're not going to have any of it too. I'm glad today that Jesus takes care of me. I could always use a few dollars extra. I've never been one that I could say, oh, I've got everything I need. I got a pocket full of money and a big bank account, and I don't need anything. It ain't me. Somebody, if anybody told you that, they mistook me for somebody else. I'm not like that. Never have been. My wife tells people every time we start getting ahead a little bit, God calls him pastor of church, and here we go again. Roller coaster goes down the hill again. Seemed like that. But you know something? I've never done without anything.
Amen.
I've never had to call anybody and say, hey, I can't come to church because I don't have gas. I've never called anybody and said, I can't eat today because I don't have food. You see, because Jesus, my Savior that I live for and I serve, He knows what I need. Jesus told them over there in Matthew, He said, your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask Him.
Amen. Amen.
And don't think that He's run out of supply. He can supply it. But you see, the thing about what hurts most people is they're not doing it God's way. But they still expect God to do it the way He said He would. It ain't going to happen. You want God's blessings? You give God your all in all. Give Him, make Him number one, your life above everything else. And He will bless you. That's a promise that He made, and He never goes back on a promise.
Amen.
This is the message that God's given us. Father, we thank You for giving us another privilege to stand tonight. We thank You for the message. Thank You for the strength. Lord, I ask You, Father, to take this simple message, God, and just put it in people's hearts to realize that we need to do it Your way, because our way won't take us anywhere. God, help us tonight. Lord, I ask You, Father, bless in the invitation part of the service. Lord, just bless the song. Bless the music. God, and bless the hearts of the people here. Speak to those that are lost. God, touch those that are backslid. God, those that have lost their desire for You, God, help them to realize they've got to do it Your way. Nothing else will work. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Ask these favors. Amen. While they come tonight and get us a song ready, are you doing it God's way? Are you doing what the Lord said to do? Are you just dilly-dallying around doing it Your way?